Luke chapter 20. I want you to all take a penny this morning. Now, this is the first time I bet you've ever been to church. The preacher walked around giving you money out of the offering plate, didn't it? Everybody take a penny.
Oh.
Take a penny.
A penny for your thoughts.
Take you a penny. Penny for your thoughts. That means you don't have much thoughts, doesn't it? Penny's not worth a whole lot, is it? Everybody take a penny. Here you go. Pass a couple down. There you go. Here's your couple more. Four of them. Yeah, these are brand new pennies.
You just printed these?
I just photocopied these. I actually went by the bank and got these. You know, the penny. Everybody got one? The penny was the first coin printed by the United States of America. The first coin printed was printed in 1792, and it was the little penny. Now, the first penny that was printed out, it wasn't quite this little, it's about the size of a half a dollar. But the first coin printed by the United States was the penny. And the penny has been part of the message and the symbol throughout all these years. The coin, the first coin printed was 100% copper, and the copper was supplied by a blacksmith named Paul Revere. He's the one that provided the copper. And since then, over 300 billion pennies have been minted since 1792. And they've been 11 different types of pennies been printed through the years. It's interesting that this penny here, the Lincoln head penny, it was printed in 1909, and this was the first coin that ever had a president on it. Bills had president, but they didn't want a president for years on the coins because they didn't want to confuse it with England, the monarchy, the king. So this was the first coin that ever had a president on it, and that was Abraham Lincoln. And I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter number 20. And it's been over two centuries now, over 200 years. And it's the little penny that was first printed, the penny, the smallest cent we have, that's carried the message and the symbol of the United States of America. It's been this little penny. In Luke chapter 20, the Lord's there, and they're always trying to catch the Lord in His words. You know how they do. They're trying to trick Him. And of course, they'll never do that, you know. In Luke chapter 20, they come to Him one time. In Luke chapter 20, verse number 21, and they ask Him, saying, "Master, we know that Thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest Thou the person of any man, but teachest the way of God truly." And of course, when they're saying, they're trying to butter Him up. You know, when somebody says that, they're fixing to stab you. In verse 22, it says, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar?" No, and that's taxes, what they're talking about. Should we pay our taxes or not? And that's a simple answer. Yeah, you need to pay them. But He perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Why tempt you me?" And He said, show me a penny. "And whose image and superscription hath it?" They marveled and said, "Caesar's." And He said unto them, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to the God the things which are God's." And they could not take hold of His words before the people and watch it. And they marveled at His answer and held their peace. They came to Him and tried to trick Him a little bit. And the Lord said to him, He said, "Hey, show me a penny. Show me a penny." And it was this little penny after a while that said, when He said, "Show me the penny," at their answer, and the Bible said they marveled at His answer and held their peace. It was a testimony and the message of the little penny that shut them up. And I will preach a little bit this morning on, show me a penny. Show me a penny. We don't think a whole lot about pennies, do we? I mean, pennies are pennies, you know. You know, somebody mentioned a penny for your thought. Well, that's not a whole lot of thinking, you know. That's what that means. You don't have much up there if you got a penny for your thoughts. But I want to give you a little bit, and I was just going to preach about, show me a penny. Show me a penny. And I want to give you the first thing about a penny. Show me a penny. I want to say the first thing about a penny, obviously, is the value of a penny. There's not much value in a penny. I mean, when I passed this penny out this morning, I said, here, everybody take a penny. I didn't see a whole lot of folks get excited, Miss Martha. Now, if I'd have passed $50 bills in that plate, I'd have got stomped to death before I got down the back. If I'd have passed a dollar, I bet I got a smile or two or a quarter. But when I said, okay, everybody take a penny, and they go, a penny? Not much value in a penny. Nobody got, Valerie didn't even get excited. She didn't say, oh boy, I got a penny. What's a penny? Hey, is there anything in the whole world right now that you could actually buy with a penny? I don't know of anything. Can't even buy a piece of penny gum, penny licorice. There's nothing. There's the value of a penny. And this penny, there's not much value in it. And the Lord said, hey, show me a penny. You know this penny, it's the penny before 1986. Before 1986, 97% or 95% of the penny before 1986 was copper. Right now, after 1986, 97% of the penny is zinc, and only 2% has a copper coating. But before 1986, Miss Martha, 95% of the penny was copper. You know what? The copper was worth more than the penny. There was 3 cents of copper in those pennies. And of course, if there's money to be made, you know what thieves did. They melted them down, you know, and melted the pennies down, which is against the law. But there's the value of a penny. There's not much value in a penny. Nobody gets excited about a penny. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I might not should say this. But if I'm walking along, Brother Chris, and this has happened to me several times. If I'm walking along and I see a penny on the ground, most of the time, Miss Rachel, I don't even bother to pick it up. Say why? Not much. So what can you do with it? Take it home and throw it in a. I got a little basket there that I throw pennies in. Not a whole lot. Now it's a $5 bill. I'll pick it up. I was walking down to Pensacola with my little grandson, who was walking on the streets there. I take him around the block, and we found a $20 bill on the street. Now I'll pick up a $20 bill. I've never had that happen. I took it home, gave it to my daughters. But I mean, a penny, there's not much value in a penny. But you know something, when I think about that penny, the first penny that was printed was in 1792. It was called the Birch Penny. Now, if you got one of those, Miss Rach, you're pretty wealthy. The Birch Penny was printed by Thomas Jefferson, and only a handful of them went out. They were printed in 1792, and he only printed a handful of them out, and they were just an example of the coins in the United States that were going to make. And if he got one, the last one went for an auction. It was $2,585,000. So if you got one of those, there's a lot of money. The most valuable Lincoln head penny is a 1943 S copper. In 1943, I used to collect coins. I got several coin collections at the house. But in 1943 was World War II. And because copper was needed, they wouldn't have any pennies printed in copper, minted in copper. So all the pennies printed during that time, minted, they were in steel. But some dummy at the mint accidentally minted some of the 1943 S Lincoln pennies in copper, and now the last one in 2012 was sold at an auction for over $1 million. So you might want to check your pennies when you get home, see if you got a copper 1943. If you do, say hallelujah. I want to say there's a value of a penny. There's not much value in the penny by itself, just an old common penny. But you know something? I kind of like that penny. There's just not much value inherent in me. This old penny, it don't have much copper. It don't have nothing left in it. There's not much you can do with it. There's the value of a penny. There's not much value in a penny. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. See, I'm kind of, me and you, we're like that penny. There's not a whole lot of inherent value in this old boy right here. There's not a whole lot I can do. I don't have any talents. I don't have any musical talent like Brother Chris. I got up here and tried to sing with these ladies, and they go off key, man. I'm just kidding. I can't stay with them. They go all over the place. I'm strum a guitar a little. I had no athletic ability. I had nothing, no personality, no charisma. I didn't have anything to offer. I was just a penny's all I was. Just the value of a penny. Not much value in a penny, is it? And that's what God looks for. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I find it significant when the Lord, when they brought that to him, he said, Hey, show me a penny. He didn't say, bring me a shekel, bring me a dollar, bring me a $5, bring me a shekel. He brought the smallest thing he could. He said, hey, show me a penny. You know what I believe God's looking for today, Miss Rachel? I believe the Lord is looking for some pennies. The value of a penny. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, for we see your calling, brethren. 1 Corinthians 1:26. How not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. You know what a penny is? It's a base thing. When we say something's base, it means it's on the bottom. If you have something that's a base, that's on the bottom shelf. And things that are despised, it's old pennies despised, it's a base. They've been a movement through the last 10 or 15 years. The government's been saying, hey, we need to quit printing these things. They're useless. Nobody uses them anymore. There's no value to them anymore. There's a value of a penny. But you know, sometimes this old penny come in handy. You ever been to the store and you go to check out and they ring it up and they say, $5.51. You reach in your pocket, you got a $5 and two quarters and a 20. You don't want to break that old 20 for one little old penny. And have a whole lot of chain walking around your pocket. A lot of times you know they'll have take a penny or leave a penny at something because a lot of times people don't have a penny. And there's not much value in a penny, Miss Martha, till you need that penny. And then when you go to the checkout line, you think, boy, I wish I'd have picked up that penny I saw on the ground about a month ago. The value of a penny goes up when you need it. You know what the Lord said? He said, hey, show me a penny. Not much value in a penny. He said, I'll take the base things, confound the wise. He said, I'll take the things that are despised. And you know what this penny is to the world? It's just despised. There's not much value in a penny. And that's like me and you. You know, there's 7 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of folks. 7 billion. You and I are one of them. Man, they got people on the planet, Brother Al, that are smart as a whip. The things they invent, Miss Martha, is unbelievable. They got people on the planet, Miss Rachel, that are strong and athletic and good looking, and they got all the money and they got all that stuff. And then there's me and you. The pennies. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for a penny. You know what's wrong in our churches right now? One of the things, we got a whole lot of dollars running around, but not a lot of pennies. We need to get to the point where Jesus said, hey, show me a penny. There's not much value in a penny. Hey, Lord, that's me. There's not much value in me, Lord. But God can take that penny and He can make it shine like a $100 gold piece. I think of Brother Stan Scott out there, Brother Al knows. You know what he is? He's a penny. He's a penny. Brother Charlie Andrews out there going, he's a penny. Larry, Brother Larry Cooper, that pastor this church, went home to be the Lord. You know what he was? He's just a penny. You know what we are? We're nothing but a penny. And the Lord said, show me a penny. I read about a man one time, and he was a little boy, he's 12 years old. And he was over, and they called him as a slave in Nigeria. His name was AJ. And he was 12 years old, and they took him and put him on the slavery block to sell him. And in 1821, this happened in 1821, and they put AJ on the slavery block, and they were going to bid on him and sell him as a slave. And he looked so pitiful, Miss Liz. He was malnutrition. He looked almost deformed when he got up there and hunched back at 12. And when he stood up there, all the people out there that were bidding on these slaves started laughing at him, thinking, who in the world wants that kid for a slave? He can't work. He looks pitiful. And they laughed and they tried to get a bid up. Nobody would bid. Finally, one guy bought him for a wad of tobacco. He bought that kid. He said, I'll give you a wad of tobacco here for him. And they said, so you can have him. He took that little boy, 12 years old, AJ, they put him on a ship, and they were taking him out to slavery to be a slave, and that ship got captured by some pirates, and the pirates got the ship, and they let all the slaves go free. And AJ went into England. This old boy, slave from Nigeria, he taught himself to read and write. AJ did. And he taught himself to read and write, and he learned, and he ended up to be the first black man to ever get a doctorate at Oxford University. He got saved, Brother Al, and met the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved, became the pastor of St. John's Cathedral in London, one of the big churches there. He was burdened by his people in Nigeria, and he translated the King James Bible, the whole Bible, in the language of Yoruba, the language of Nigeria, and he left his home. He left England there, and he went to Nigeria and became a missionary for years, 30 years over there, led thousands of Nigerians to the Lord. You know what his name was? He took the name Samuel Cowther, who was a famous Nigerian missionary. You know what he was? He was a penny. You know what Jesus says? Show me. I'm looking for a penny. Know any pennies out here? Show me a penny and I'll show you some souls. There's a German Moravian missionary who went to Africa. His name was George Smith. He went over there in Africa and he labored and labored and labored like 30 years, Miss Martha, over there, and labored and labored and labored and labored and labored and preached to those Africans and those natives. And when he got through his old ministry, Brother Al, he had led one old poor crippled woman to the Lord. It's all he had to show all those years. He died, Miss Rachel, a complete failure, he thought. He died literally. He was on his knees praying for Africa, praying where he found him dead. His whole ministry, Brother Ben, those years lasted in one little penny. A poor old crippled woman in Africa. And he died with that. You know that poor old woman, through her testimony, 13,000 people got saved in Africa and brought a revival. You say, what was it? It was a penny. You know what Jesus is looking for? You say, preacher, I don't have much to offer. Good, you're who he's looking for, see? You know what he said? Hey, show me a penny. There's the value of a penny. Penny's an amazing thing. Not only that, show me a penny and I'll show you some sold. Not only that, there's the voice of a penny. You know that little penny? It's an amazing little thing. There's the voice of a penny. You take this penny right here. This was the first coin America ever printed. I want you to look at your penny for a second. Show me a penny. Everybody get your penny. There's the voice of a penny. There's the value of a penny. It's not worth a whole lot. I mean, these pennies are 300 billion of them have been minted since 1792. Look at the top of Mr. Lincoln's head and there's four beautiful words. It says, in God we trust. You know the first time those words were ever printed in America, they were ever mentioned in America, you know where they showed up for the first time? On the little penny. There's the voice of a penny. November the 13th, 1861, listen to this guy. His name is Mark Watkinson. Watkins with son on it. And he was pastor of Prospect Hill Baptist Church in Pennsylvania. And he sent a letter to the Treasury Department asking them to put something on the coin, on the United States coins in 1861, to recognize God Almighty. Well, that was the time of Lincoln, and Lincoln got his Treasury Secretary to look at it, and they come up with a motto that we're going to put on it, in God we trust, on the first coin, on a penny. It went on a penny, the first. Well, when they got together, they found out they couldn't do it, but it's because Congress had enacted a law, and it said that Congress was the only one that could change anything on a coin. And so Congress went back and passed a law called the Coinage Act of 1864, and it gave the authority to the Treasury to put that on the penny. And in 1864, for the first time, on a little bitty penny, was those four wonderful words, "In God we trust." You know what this thing right here is? He's a little preacher, what he is. I bet it drives those freedom from religion folks crazy, don't you? I mean, every time they get one of these little pennies, Martha, they get a little sermon on it, and it says, "In God we trust." And the first time those words appeared in America was the voice of a little penny. In 1908, Congress passed legislation that made it mandatory that "In God we trust" be printed on every United States coin. Every nickel, every dime, every quarter in 1908, every penny, every coin that we had they put on there those four wonderful words, "In God we trust," due to the voice of a little penny. In 1956, June the 30th, 1956, President Eisenhower signed a law that states the phrase "In God we trust" is the official national motto of the United States of America. The official national motto of the United States of America is "God we trust," and it all goes back to the voice of that little bitty penny. And the same day, President Eisenhower passed a bill that said every coin and every currency printed in the United States of America has to have the words on it, "In God we trust." Every time you pick up a dollar, it says on the back, "In God we trust." You pick up a 10, "In God we trust." You pick up a 20, "In God we trust." If you want anything higher than a 20, you better talk to Brother Lonzo. It's the best I got right here. Every currency, every coin you got, it has those four words on it, "In God we trust," Miss Rachel, and it comes because of a little bitty penny. There's the voice of the penny. Show me a penny, and I'll show you a sermon. You know what that penny is? It's a little preacher. And they made that four words, "In God we trust," the national motto of the United States. And that sermon of the voice of that little penny is echoed all across the United States. I get a blessing every time I see a Jefferson County Sheriff car. Because you know what's on every one of them? Right there on the front there, see it, those four beautiful words, "In God we trust." 26 states in the United States has on their tag, "In God we trust," because of the voice of a little penny. He's not much, is he? Not much value in that penny. He's just like John the Baptist that said, he's just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Thanks to the voice of the little penny. That's what I am. I'm just a little penny. I'm not much. Me and my wife and Sarah Lee, we went out Friday afternoon out to the clay chalk, well, crossroads, as Brother Odell calls them, where the traffic comes through. And we go out there on Friday afternoons and the traffic's coming through. And we'll hold up signs. I had one that said, "Jesus cares for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved." You say, "What are you doing?" "I'm just a little penny trying to make a voice for the Lord. That's all. Nothing. No big deal. I'm nobody. You can't even see my face most of the time." So what are you? Just the voice of a penny. This old penny's not much. But you see that little penny in the hand of God? That little four words that echoed all across this country. And every time they get one a coin now, every time they get a bill, these freedom from religious folks, they've sued and tried to stop it. So far Congress has not given any leeway in it. There's the voice of a penny. That's all I am, is a little penny. I love that song, "Little is Much When God Is In It." Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown if you can win it, if you go in Jesus' name. Show me a penny. Show me a penny, and I'll show you a sermon. I was reading, studying this week, and come across a story about a missionary in India. Brother Al, he's over in India, and he led some little boys to the Lord over there, a missionary to India, years and years ago. And a little boy, he was about 5 years old. And he had a penny. And that, to him, a penny was what would be $1,000 to you. He had that penny and cherished that penny, Miss Jane. He loved that penny and held on that penny. He'd get it out some and he'd look at that penny. That's something to look at, see. That's all he had over there. And that missionary led him to the Lord, and that little boy is 5 or 6 years old. And he wanted to do something for the Lord that saved him. So he come to the missionary and he said, "I want to give you my penny for the Lord." And he gave him his penny. You know what Jesus said? "Show me a penny." He said, "I'm looking for a penny." And that little boy said, "Hey, here, I want to give this to the Lord." And that missionary took that penny, Miss Liz, and he bought one gospel tract. That's all he could buy with it. One gospel tract. And that missionary took that gospel tract and he started passing it through that tribe and through those natives. And when that tract kept going through and through, and it eventually wore it out, but that one tract, I'm not talking about two, I'm talking about he had one tract he bought, and me and Rita get saved, that and Rita get saved, they passed it, and when they got through, it said here that over 1,500 natives got saved. Because the voice of a little penny. "Show me a penny. Show me a penny and I'll show you a sermon." Not only that about a penny. There's the value of a penny. There's not much value of a penny. There's a voice of a penny, but there's something else about this penny. And that's the vision of a penny. That's the vision of a penny. America was founded on one thing, brethren. She wasn't founded on wealth. They weren't coming here looking for prosperity. They were coming to this land for one reason. When the pilgrims left in 1620, they had one vision and one dream and one thing set on, and they were looking for that word called liberty. Take your little penny. Look on the left-hand side of Mr. Lincoln. There's that beautiful word. You know what it's called? Liberty. Sung that song up here this morning, the Statue of Liberty. Nearly every penny that's ever been printed since the first one, the first one didn't have it, but nearly every penny we've had printed has the word liberty. Here's the old Indian head. Some of you might have seen those. I got a bunch of these. Used to get these when I was a kid. Look on the top. Liberty. This is the coin that was printed before that. This is called the Draper head. Notice on this lady's head, liberty. This is the one that was printed before that. This is called the guy would have called that. But look at liberty. These are all pennies. Every one of these pennies had the vision of liberty. When those pilgrims came over here, they left England, Brother Al. There was 102 of them that left Plymouth Rock, and they left their homeland going where they had no idea that only hand they had was a guiding hand of God. But they wanted to come over here and find them a land that had freedom and liberty, that they could worship the Lord Jesus Christ and bring their kids up. And 65 days later, when they hit land, there were only 52 of them still alive. It was such a treacherous trip. And they hit that land and they called themselves pilgrims, is what they called them, from Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of, embraced him, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And they came to this land looking for a vision of liberty. We just celebrated the 4th of July. And that was our day of independence. That was the day that we got independence and liberty from the land of Britain. That's what we fought the Revolutionary War for. But you know, most people don't know the real history and the real reason and the real spark that ignited the flame of liberty in America. I know you didn't hear this on TV, but you watched it all week, what I'm about to tell you. But here's how it got started. Culpeper, Virginia, in March 1775. There was a young lawyer that came into Culpeper, Virginia in March 1775. And he rode into Culpeper, Virginia. And what he saw shocked him. There in the
center of the town was a man tied to the pole, and he was stripped, and they were whipping him and beating him. He was beaten so bad, the young lawyer said his ribs were coming through the skin and his guts was coming out. He was beaten that bad. And that young lawyer asked him, said, "Man, what's going on? What kind of crime did this guy do? What did he do that he was beat so bad?" And they said he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ without a license. And he beat him to death. And this young lawyer saw that. That young lawyer's name was Patrick Henry. And it was Patrick Henry that saw that. It was Patrick Henry that just a few days later stands up in March 23rd. That young lawyer went to the Second Virginia Convention in March 23rd in 1775. And he stood up in Richmond, Virginia at St. John's Church. And sitting in the crowd there was George Washington, the first president, would be the first president, Thomas Jefferson, members of Congress, members of the Supreme Court. And Patrick Henry got up there and he related what he saw, that man beat to death there for preaching the gospel. And he uttered these famous words: "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not, of course, what others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And when he said that, the crowd rose up and began to cheer, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Brother, that was the spark that lit the Revolutionary War. Liberty. There's a vision of that penny. Liberty. And that liberty, make no mistake about it, my friend, was founded on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty was a vision of America. It was a vision and the dream of the United States of America. The Declaration of Independence begins with these famous words: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Our Constitution begins: "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty." Over in Philadelphia, they set up a bell to celebrate the United States in 1752. It's called the Liberty Bell. On that bell is Leviticus 25:10, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." The dream and the vision of America was the vision of liberty. We stand and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The vision of that little penny of America was that of liberty. "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing." The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty." You know why this country has liberty in it? You know why this country has the liberty to have? We still have the freedom we have. I'm going to tell you, friend, it's not the politicians. They'd take it tomorrow. Every last one of them crooks would do it. Every one of them, Republican, Democrats, Independent, every one of them would do it. But I'm going to tell you, we got liberty in this country because of the Word of God and men of God that still aren't afraid to stand up and preach it. The liberty of this country came through the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a vision of that little penny, and that's that word, liberty. Liberty. Ronald Reagan said one time years ago at the prayer breakfast in 1984, "Without God, there's no virtue, because there's no prompting of the conscience. Without God, we're mired in the material, the flat world that tells us only what the senses perceive. Without God, there's no coercing of society. And without God, democracy cannot and will not endure. If we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we will be one nation gone under." There's the dream and the vision of that little penny. There's the vision of the penny. There's the value of the penny. And there's the voice of that penny. I want to give you one more real quick. And I'll call this, there's the virtue. The virtue of a penny. Take your little old penny
Turn it on the back. On the back of your penny, above that seal, if you can see it. If you're like me, you got to take your glasses off. You blind know what's in it. But right above that seal, there's 13 letters on the back side. And those 13 letters spell out E Pluribus Unum. Anybody know what that means? It was official motto of the United States. It was the motto that founded originally the United States. The word pluribus means many. We talk about something singular and it's plural. Plural means many. Pluribus means many. Unum means one. You know, Spanish is uno. That's one. It means, e pluribus unum means out of many came one. You know, America was different than any other nation in the history of the world. You know the thing about America? America had no people here but the Indians. They had no natives. You know what? When people came to America, they came all across the world. They came. They came many, many, many came. And out of many became one, the United States of America. They came from Germany. They came from France. They came from Ireland. They came from Scotland. They came from Africa. They came from Australia. The God called them and brought them this land of liberty. And out of many came one. They may be Irish. They may be Scottish. They may be this. But when they got through, they all became Americans. Out of many came one. There's the virtue of that penny and the virtue of America. On the Statue of Liberty are these incredible words. Keep ancient love, ink, keep ancient land, your storied pomp, crashy. In other words, keep the rich people, keep the high muckety muck. Keep ancient land, your storied pomp, crashy. With silent lips, give me your tired, your poor. Your huddled masses yearning to be free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. Let the lamp, my lamp be beside the golden door. And it was these people that came to America all across the world and formed this great nation. There's the virtue of a penny. E pluribus unum. They came. Farmers, blacksmiths, woodsmiths, doctors, lawyers. They brought their tears, they brought their fears, they brought everything. They brought to this land searching for liberty and a place to worship God. And out of it all, e pluribus unum, out of many became one. There's the virtue of that little penny. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 11, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Matthew chapter 11. When I read that plaque there on the Statue of Liberty, and it says this, I just gave it to you. With silent lips, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send the homeless, the tempest tossed to me. You know what it sounds like to me? It's the Lord Jesus in Matthew 28, don't it? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Wasn't that where you was one day? Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, my lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. He purposed you and out of many became one. You know, the thing about this country, we're all different, we're all diverse, we all have different thoughts. But brother, we all come together as one, out of many became one. It's pretty amazing. You know, I was studying that and thinking about that, he pluribus unum. Out of many became one. And brother Al, I was thinking, now I have heard that phrase before. Somewhere I have read that phrase. And you know where it's at? It's in your Bible. That's where it came from, by the way. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, this is beautiful here. I don't have time to preach the whole thing here like it should. Out of many came one. over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It talks about the church here. And talks about how different the church is. Look what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We all have different. There's people here that can sing and play music. There are people that can do all kinds of different things. And there are differences in administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Come down to verse 11. But these all worketh at one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Hey, we're all different in the church. We all got our different gifts. We all diverse. That's what it's saying. Verse 12, for the body is one. That's the church. The church is the body. And hath many members. And all the members of that one body, look at it, being many are one body. There's ye pluribus unum. That's what this church is. We're many, but we're here because of one. And only one. That's why. Verse 13, for by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. There's one body. That's the church. That's the Lord Jesus. Verse 20, but now are they many members yet, but one body. Verse 21, that I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which seem to be less honorable upon these bestow abundant honor. So on and so on. Look at verse 27. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. You know what it means? Out of many came one. See, we're all different here. No, we can't say we have no need of the foot, have no need of the eye. We need everybody working together in the church and working together for one out of many became one. And brother, that one is Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's what's got to be the focus of this church. That's the only focus of this church. That can be the only thing this church looks up to is Jesus Christ. We have to put our affections and lust and crucify. We have to put our differences back. We have to crucify those things, brother, and lift Him up and Him only. Take your Bible, turn over Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Brother, if we ever lose that, we ever lose. Out of many came one. This church is not worth fooling with. There's only one in this church we worship. There's only one that we lift up. And it's not this preacher. I can still remember Brother Larry Cooper. It burned in my heart, Miss Jenna. I can still remember him standing right here. I remember his face getting red. And I remember them lips getting blue like he'd do sometime. And smoke just about coming out of his ears. And Brother Jeff be sitting right there. And I remember him standing up there that fifth and shaking that finger saying, it's not about Brother Jeff. It's not about Brother Terry. It's all about Him. We ever lose that. It's gone. It's all about Him. Out of many came one. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. That are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Watch it. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Watch it. And He is head of the body, the church. That's what we were talking about, that body. That's the church. He's the head of the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He hath the preeminence. His church is not about Terry Watkins. It's not about Chris. It's not about Jan or Liz or Rachel or Al or Alonzo or Jane or Annie, Uncle Reuben, Annie May or Ben or Martha or my wife. It's all about Him. And lift Him up. And if we ever get away from that, we have lost everything. And there's the virtue of that penny. E pluribus unum. I got a blessing I gave you a few last week, I think it was, over in Brazil. Now, you wouldn't think about Brazil being a Christian nation, but they are. They had a march for Jesus a couple of weeks ago. And over 3 million people, Brother Al, 3 million people in Brazil. The population of Brazil is about 200 million. America's 380. 3 million people, Christians, in Brazil marched on the streets for one reason. One reason. The Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking that out of many, out of those 3 million, all they were settled on and focused on was one. The Lord Jesus. The president of Brazil got out and said this. They, by the way, they stood out in the hot sun for 10 hours and sang and worshiped God in the streets for 10 hours, those 3 million people. Isn't that something? Brother, wouldn't you like to have been in that? And the president of Brazil stood up and said, "We cry out for Brazil, for the families, for the end of corruption, for the afflicted hearts. Our country belongs to Jesus Christ." And he said, "To Him all honor, glory, power, and majesty." As it says in Psalm 33, "Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord." E pluribus unum. This thing's all about Him, folks. And Him alone. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Ask my wife just to come play something this morning. Give you a few minutes to think about the message. There's the value of a penny. You and I aren't much. We're not much. They came to old John the Baptist, said, "Are you that prophet?" He said, "Nah." They said, "Are you alive?" He said, "Nah." He said, "Are you there?" He said, "I am not." He said, Who are you? Who are you?" He said, "I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness." That's all we are. We're not much value, you and I. We'll go through this life and they'll bury you. They'll have your funeral. You know what? There'll be a handful of folks, but you know what? The world will keep going. Very little will change. Few people will mourn you. Very little value. We're just a little penny. But brother, a penny in the hand of Jesus Christ is something else. Little penny like Dwight L. Moody brought the greatest revival the world's ever seen. Little penny like Lester Roloff that took his cow and milked his way through Baylor University, shook this nation for God. Little penny like Billy Sunday came in, brought revival all across America. Not much value in a little penny. Hey, that's me. There's the voice of a penny. I don't have much. Lord, I don't have to offer, but I got a voice. I can hand out a tract. I can stand on a street corner. I can ask somebody to say, I can be a voice. I can be the voice of a penny. And there's a vision. There's a vision of a penny. There's that liberty. I can tell that old lost soul. I can tell that lost soul about the liberty in Jesus Christ. The Son shall make you free. You shall be free indeed. And there's the virtue of that little penny. There's that E pluribus union. Brother, where two or three are gathered my name, there am I in the midst. And we get together and gather many in the name of Jesus Christ and Him alone and all about Him and Him alone and nothing else. God will do something. God will do something. God will do something. All about Him. E pluribus unum.